Yes, today our food story is the epic narrative of two foods, both from Asia originally, that found their way to America and find themselves in the same pan, at least, if not boat, the pie pan. One food is distinct for having not nearly enough sugar, while the other is known for having an overabundance of sugar. Because of this, their stories are very different as they meet on the takeaway field of battle this morning. The proud sugary cherry, one of the oldest edibles on the planet, will face off against the humble, profoundly sour herb rhubarb, the stalk of which was a medicine for most of human history. If it was consumed at all. Two seasoned chefs are here to participate in this summer pie epic. Melissa Clark from our partner in the New York Times is here with her twice baked cherry pie. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, John.
Nice to talk to you. And Deb Perlman of SmittenKitchen.com brought us a rhubarb pie, which we should say is ably assisted by the North American strawberry there. Good morning. Strawberry rhubarb pie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, great. And serving as our judge is Emily Elson, third-generation pie maker, featured chef on the Cooking Channel's Unique Eats, and co-owner, along with her sister Melissa, of 4 and 20 Blackbirds, a pie shop in Brooklyn, New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
So as the judge, first of all, let's just talk about this narrative. I mean, the cherry, because it has so much sugar.
Actually, John, can I interrupt?
Yeah.
Just because I want to set the record straight. I actually used sour cherry. So the sour cherry, as opposed to its cousin, the sweet cherry, does not have a lot of sugar.
But cherries in general, I mean, even sour cherries have a lot of sugar compared to a rhubarb.
Well, that's true. Compared to rhubarb, that's absolutely true. But I just want to make sure that it's definitely not a sweet cherry. So,
but because the cherries are so sweet, Emily, you know, there were problems with them down through history. I mean, cuisine, they were associated with sort of kingly kind of upper crust sorts of foods. But it wasn't until preservation and refrigeration came in that cherries were available much more widely. Mm. Rhubarb, on the other hand, didn't become popular until sugar was more available.
I suppose, yeah. Rhubarb, we're just starting to work with cherries, actually, in our shop. But rhubarb definitely requires a lot of sweetening to, you know. I mean, the tartness of it is actually something that's very appealing, too. So the sugar helps to bring it out, to find the balance.
And, you know, rhubarb was used as a fruit substitute for a long time, Melissa Clark, when people couldn't actually afford fruit. They would actually put a sort of citrusy flavor from cheap old rhubarb. Do you ever do that?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's wonderful. Rhubarb's the first fruit of the year. You know, when there's nothing else and the rhubarb comes into the farmer's market, it's the most exciting thing. And then, you know, you add sugar and it just changes its character so dramatically.
All right, but Melissa, of course, chose cherry. Deb, you chose rhubarb, ably assisted by the strawberry. Are you as excited by rhubarb as some others are here this morning?
I am. I also think that it especially sings with strawberry because it gives it such a nice contrast. It allows it to keep its red color because rhubarb kind of turns into this sort of pale, muddy pink otherwise.
The consistency is a problem.
It's not that pretty. And also the strawberries, which are almost, they're not too sweet for pie, but they don't really give you a lot of complexity. But when you put in that sour fruit and you cook them together with some sugar, you get this really nice, like, full-bodied flavor.
So we got twice-baked sour cherry pie from Melissa Clark and a rhubarb strawberry pie from Deb Perlman. What makes a good pie, since you're our judge here, Emily Elson?
Well, what makes a good pie? I think the crust is probably one of the most important parts of a pie. You can have, you know, the freshest, most wonderfully in-season fruit and prepare the filling perfectly, but if it doesn't have a good crust, if it doesn't have a nice, flaky, buttery, you know, flavorful even crust to sort of envelop it, it falls flat.
All right, so why don't you start by taking a sample of Melissa Clark's cherry pie there.
Okay.
And Melissa, tell us about your crust strategy this morning in the contest.
Well, what I did was I borrowed a technique from the White House pastry chef, Bill Yassif. What he does in his pies is he takes his bottom crust for a fruit pie and bakes it entirely before he fills it, which is what you'd usually do for a custard pie, but he does it for a fruit pie, and it's a little bit of an unusual technique. And so he bakes it once, it's perfectly cooked through and crispy and crunchy and golden, and then he adds the fruit and the second crust and bakes it again. So that's what makes it twice baked. And what that does is it cooks the bottom crust thoroughly and makes it crunchy enough to stand up to all those yummy cherry juices.
Right, it makes it moisture proof, right?
Exactly.
All right. So Emily, if you can, an initial reaction to Melissa's pie there?
Wonderfully bottom baked crust.
Bottom baked crust. All right, that's the initial
reaction.
That's
tricky. You know, that's hard with juicy fruit. So.
All right, now why don't you take a sample of Deb's strawberry rhubarb pie? Clear your palate there. And Deb, why don't you explain your crust strategy this morning?
I use an all butter crust. I put just a tiny, tiny smidge of vinegar in just to help tenderize it. But
vinegar.
I'm a firm believer in the all-butter crust. I know a lot of people that they associate shortening crusts with flakiness, but I think it's all in the technique. And if you keep your bits of butter somewhat visible and you keep them from being fully incorporated into the flour, you can get those flaky layers that are essential to a beautiful
crust. All right,
crust.
Did she manage to pull it off there, Emily?
It's a very tasty crust and is flaky. I think the jamminess of the strawberries and rhubarb are overpowering it a little bit, but it's very nice.
All right. So the crust verdict seems to be pretty positive on both pies.
Yeah. How do you think
these two chefs handled the fruit issues? And, of course, with the rhubarb, you've got to add sugar. With the sour cherries, you also have to add sugar, but it's less of an issue.
Yeah, I think a big thing is thickening as well. You often add a little tapioca starch or cornstarch to thicken the fruit with the sugar. And it's always a balance between over thickening or under thickening, so you don't want cherry soup or rhubarb jam.
Melissa, what's your thickening strategy?
I used instant tapioca, and I just whirled it in the food processor for a few seconds just to break it down even further.
And Deb, your thickening strategy?
I also used tapioca, and it's funny because it was actually the first time I've used it. I've always used cornstarch, but I had an issue with runniness with my strawberry rhubarb pie, so I tried something different, and I'm looking at the plate and it's spilling out in a puddle, and I'm like, maybe I didn't get that level quite right yet. But strawberries and rhubarb are tough because they're actually mostly water, so it happens.
All right. Emily Elson, the moment of truth. What do you think? Let's just restate for our listeners. We've got Melissa Clark's sour cherry and Deb Perlman's strawberry rhubarb pie. Emily Elson is our judge. What do you think?
This is hard. I got to say they're both really beautiful pies. I mean,
this is generally how it turns out on our.
We're
trying to get people on the record to say whether Stanley McChrystal's going to be fired or not. Come on.
Okay. Honestly, I think they're both beautiful and really well done. I'm going to lean towards the sour cherry because I find strawberry and rhubarb, it's a personal taste thing. I find them a little too jammy together. I prefer
rhubarb
alone.
So it's a consistency thing.
Yeah. And the tartness of the cherries, I think this is, again, they're both really, really well done. It would be...
Everyone's a winner.
Yeah.
Okay, is that what you're trying to say?
I think the cherry probably.
Third generation pie maker and co-owner of 4 & 20 Blackbird's Pie Shop in Brooklyn, New York. Melissa, you've done well this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Melissa Clark, food writer for our partner, The New York Times. Her recipe for sour cherry pie is on our website, takeaway.org. And Deb Perlman's blogger behind smittenkitchen.com. Her recipe for strawberry rhubarb pie is also at thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don't forget, if you make one of these pies, send us a picture to our Facebook page at facebook.com/thetakeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.